Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining this Open Systems Publishing eCast on the subject of meeting carrier requirements with advanced CCA and advanced mezzanine carts. I'm Joe Pavlov, the president of PICMIG. I'll be moderating this cast today. We have four highly qualified speakers with us today. Each will be making about a 10-minute presentation, and then we'll have 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the hour for questions. If you wish to place a question, in the left side of your screen, there is a Ask a Question button. You simply click on that button, type in your question, and it'll show up on our screens here, and we can answer it at the end. If there are more questions than we think we can answer in 20 minutes, I'll be doing a little bit of selection and to try to pick the most interesting ones. So with us today, we have folks from Diversified Technology, Embedded Planet, Contron, and Radisys. And what we're going to talk about is we'll go into some detail about advanced mezzanine cards, sometimes called AMCs, how they're used, how they add modularity to an advanced TCA system, how they increase flexibility in advanced TCA, and then how they're used in micro-TCA, which is another use of advanced mezzanine cards. Then we're going to have some drill down into advanced TCA fabric choices of the various fabrics that advanced TCA supports. How do you choose the best fabric for your application? Then we're going to dive into some detail about an introduction to PICMIG 3.1 Ethernet. And lastly, we're going to have talk about interoperability. So each of the presenters will make about a 10-minute presentation. I ask that you post your questions as you think of them, and then we'll answer them at the end. So first on the agenda today is Chris Grugeon from Radisys.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for introducing the session.
See if we can get your slide deck up here.
Okay. So since the presentation's up, I will...
Okay, the presentation's up. Take it away, Chris.
Okay. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about micro-TCA from the system point of view. So I'm going to lead you to the first slide. Basically, this is a slide that kind of shows how micro-TCA fits into the market from Radisys' point of view. You will see basically that we look at the whole continuum of application in the communication domain from core access to the edge. We see that basically advanced TCA obviously addressing some core and the access application. Then micro TCA does a very good job of overlapping on the access side and all the way down to the edge. On the access side, AMCs do play a very important role on the I/O kind of applications or modules that allows you to provide, you know, a whole lot of I/O interconnection, that is the IP, STM1, OC3, E1, T1s. And the advantage of AMC provides you not only a small granularity, but also a modular kind of interface that can be easily hot-swapped and removed and upgraded. On the micro-TCA side, we see obviously some overlap both in the access side, because there's some areas where you don't really need the whole ATCA shelf to support the kind of functional I/O traffic that you are looking at. And then even in that domain within micro-TCA, you have the option of running with a single wide or a double wide kind of micro-TCA advanced micro-TCA device. One of the things, as you go more and more towards the edge, some of the things that do change in the dynamics, typically what happens is that you have more I/O connection but less processing requirements, and therefore your actual architecture needs to compensate or at least take into consideration some of those. If you look at the bar that's below the micro-TCA yellow bar, it shows also some of the things that affect that. Obviously, as you move closer to the core or in the access, typically you require more computing, more redundancy. As you go more along to the edge, you typically require less redundancy, but you're much more cost sensitive. So that takes me to some of the fabrics that you need to consider. The first fabric that we're going to consider is the AMC.1 Ethernet. I'll just stop by here and just say, as most of you may know, AMC has been specified under numerous specifications. One of them is AMC.0, which specifies all the mechanical, electrical, and physical characteristics of the interfaces. And then there are fabric, specification, and you've got AMC.1, AMC.2, AMC.3, and these are Ethernet, PCIe, and then SAS. There's also additional for serial rapid I.O. and so on. In this session, I will only address the Ethernet and the PCIe fabrics. And so let's go through these. So when you look at the Ethernet, one of the key things about Ethernet is it's a connectionless link fabric. It scales very easy. Just add another switch and you can basically scale it. Easy to manage hot swap. So therefore, when you're in a redundant kind of environment, that is a very easy fabric domain to basically manage. Another key thing of the Ethernet side is that it's very well developed. It's ubiquitous in the industry. Everybody knows about it. It basically is evolving on its own, and with that evolvement and that usage comes a price reduction on a yearly basis. On the con side, typically you need obviously some computing capability to support an IP stack and of course a Mac and so on. So therefore these have to be intelligent modules. They cannot be what I would call unintelligent or dumb I.O. modules like you would have, like for instance in the PCI on the end of the PCI bridge. The other disadvantage of that is basically TCP/IP stacks have significant overhead, so you have to have some relatively significant computing to be able to support it. Okay, so we go to the next slide. So here I look at a typical configuration using Ethernet fabric interconnection. And really, as you can see here, you have all the devices that are peers. So basically, they're intelligent devices. They're independent of each other. They can operate. And if one fails, all the rest basically continues to operate. The connection can be extended quasi-indefinitely. You can basically add switches. You can link it to another backplane, which then goes to other switches and to another system. It's a very easy fabric connection to manage and also to increase. Managed switches can also manage the traffic, so basically you can route traffic, you can even block it from certain areas, you can create virtual LANs. So there's a whole lot of features in Ethernet that provide you a lot of flexibility. Okay. When we look at the AMC PCI Express fabric, in this particular place, PCI Express, an evolution of basically PCI, is the ideal environment for dumb I.O. kind of devices. Basically, you don't really need intelligence on it. You can have a very basic I.O. devices like a Gigi, like a Mac, who can be controlled straight through a PCIe. Very, very cost-effective when you start looking at a large amount of I.O.s that you don't need to control. You don't need to basically manage the data. All you need to do is direct it, okay? It also supports unintelligent boards or any kind of I.O.s kind of devices, okay? Software structure is somewhat compatible with legacy PCI. So for anybody who's basically worked with PCI kind of devices like compact PCI or PCI servers and so on, the software structure is easily migratable to that kind of structure. On the con side, it's a very hierarchical scheme. So it needs a root complex and a leaf to one-to-many basically structure. In the case of PCI, it was called a master-slave kind of an arrangement. It's also difficult to hot swap because it's not connectionless. You cannot just remove an end node from a root complex and expect the root complex to know that it's been removed or not being affected. It does affect the system. Therefore, you have to have mechanism and software to support any form of hot swap. And all data paths have to be handled by the root complex. Essentially what I mean is that basically since you have no local intelligence and all the data has to go through the central processor, which is the root complex, it means this is a kind of bottleneck. So if you have to treat a lot of data, this is somewhat limiting structure. So looking at the next slide, this basically shows a graphic kind of representation of a PCIe system. And as you can see here, we have our examples of a few devices that are hung on the end of a programmable PCIe switch. And in a particular, in one case, you have in the total left-hand side, you have the root complex device, which itself has got an I/O device hanging off it within on the same board. Could be a mezzanine board, which is on top of that board, or a device that's included on the board itself, okay? And then on there, on the programmable switch, as you can see, the programmable switch has got yellow, green, green, basically connectors to it. And what that means is basically the yellow is defined to be a root complex, so you have to program the PCI switch up front. You have to define it and basically manage it that way. Then all the other devices are basically hanging off it are end nodes, and basically the PCI switch only expects an end node to be there. So you cannot hang another root complex device. It does not work that way. Where does that limit you? Well, in the case of, for instance, certain CPU devices, there are north bridges or bridges that are not programmable as such as an end node and are automatically root complex. So therefore, you can't put two CPUs on a PCI fabric and because they'll conflict. There'll be two root complexes. So it's somewhat limiting in certain cases, and therefore you need to be aware of that. Okay. So let's look at that and how that fits with the advanced micro TCA port allocation. In the table there, well, basically what I've done is started from the left hand, working to the right hand. In the first column, you basically have a number of segments or at least descriptions. One is basically right on the left hand column, you see that you have a basic connector and extended connector. And the AMC, basically, if you look at the module itself, has got leaves because it's an edge connector. It's got connectors on the top side and the reverse side. And on one, the basic connector is the top side connector. The extended connector is the bottom side connector. Typically, everybody uses all extended because that's the way it's basically been applied. And then these connectors are segmented in various regions, the clock region, common option region, the FAT5 region, and the extended option region. When you start looking at how those then are mapped into the various fabrics, you can look at the column 4, which is AMC.1 PCIe, and then Ethernet, which is .2, which is Ethernet. And what you see is that basically each of those definitions have been defined in their own domain. In other words, there's been very little assumption that both of these fabrics will run together or be used together in the standard, except for SATA, which I've shown there in AMC.3, which happens to be using port 2 and 3, which is independent of both of the other fabrics, in other words, on its own unique port numbers. So what this means is basically in theory, we'd have a set of AMCs that would only be PCIe or only Ethernet. In the case of on many applications, for instance, we've looked at applications that would have to run both into an ATCA and a micro TCA. We felt that that was limiting because you often want to be able to control or have a mix and match of I/O devices, dumb I/O devices, and intelligent I/O devices onto a fabric. So what we did, if you look at the last column, it basically defined a set of connections to the fabrics that would have a mix of ports and capabilities. This pretty much allows us to be able to connect GigE intelligent devices connected and also PCIe devices, which are non-intelligent devices. This kind of scheme can be used both in a ATCA carrier board or also in a micro TCA shelf down the line, giving you a lot of more flexibility. Okay. So if you start looking at the next slide, that kind of shows a typical system that you would have You have obviously the switch fabric at the bottom of the Ethernet that connects up to all the slots. And in this particular case, what I'm showing is basically slot 1 would have an intelligent device, slot 2 would have a non-intelligent device, slot 3 would have an intelligent device. And so what you can see is you basically can communicate with them and connect up in a PCIe environment. In some cases, you may want to do that to do all the control data path management and then use all the data path through the fabric, the Ethernet fabric. And so that gives you ultimate flexibility. Also, if you look at the very last slot, what I showed is an example where you may route more than one Ethernet fabric or redundant Ethernet fabric to a particular slot if you needed more bandwidth than a gig E to a particular slot. In this case, it's got two fabrics, two Ethernet fabrics going to each, so you'd have two gigs in a redundant form fashion. So basically, in summary, you know, combined PCIe and Ethernet fabrics provides you the best of both. It provides you the ability to run a system that will support a relatively highly redundant structure with intelligent cards, basically supporting, at the same time be able to build and leverage low-cost cards to build a more lower-cost system. That kind of configuration obviously supports redundant systems and also provides you the ability to separate your control path and your data path, putting the data control path to the PCIe and the data path by Ethernet. Okay. Some of the things that are still unknown, and they may change some of the things. Micro TTA specifications have not been released yet, so there may be some changes. But today, there's a pretty stable connection. There's pretty stable definition on the connection of the AMC, so we feel comfortable with that. And then, obviously, the choice of interconnection may be influenced by application. And that's all for me today. I'll return it to you back to Joe. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Next on the agenda, Matt Hoover from Embedded Planet is going to tell us about taking advantage of AMCs and micro TCA by leveraging their fabric, power, and software infrastructures. Matt?
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that, and have the slides up here in a second, and we'll run through those. And as Joe mentioned, I'm going to run through kind of a summary of the AMC modules and how they can be used in a number of different applications, kind of focusing on some of the features and how they can be used in the different applications. So the first slide here, we're going to focus on the fabric interface, the increase in power that these modules have available to them for processing, and then also on software reuse for the different applications. The next slide kind of sets the stage for the presentation. We're going to talk about how the AMC modules can be used in the micro TCA system and then also in ATCA as well as custom. Summarize the different application usage inside the telecommunication vertical and also some other verticals. Once again, talk about the fabric interface and power. And one of the key areas that we'll talk about is the software reuse by being able to take the software that's on the different modules and use it in a number of different applications. Just some of the typical functions that these AMC modules are used for is, you know, very standard to other I/O modules in the past. Increased CPU processing for any type of application that you're working on. Additional communications, I/O, any specific DSP or FPGA functions. And a number of other applications or functions that they can be used with. The next slide will run through kind of the micro TCA system and how that can be used. So basically what, picture is an example of a chassis for a micro TCA system, and allowing you to use AMC modules as cards for that system. And the benefit of this type of system is the AMC modules, as Chris had talked about and the other presenters will discuss, is these AMC modules are the same modules that are used in an ATCA blade. So the benefits, you get all the same benefits as you would in that ATCA chassis of the fabric interface, power, and most importantly, the software we use. There's a number of different form factors that are being presented for the micro TCA, which allows you to use it in a number of different types of systems. Once again, the fabric interfaces are supported as different options, and you can get the same, similar type of functionality, not quite as large of a system, but similar functionality as you could in an advanced TCA pack, advanced TCA system, but a smaller package. So the next slide kind of runs through some ideas of some big applications within the telecommunications marketplace where the micro TCA or the combination with the AMC modules could be used in addition to the ATCA system. So what this allows you to do is to put together a more specific system architecture for the given application. If size restrictions or cost are dynamics in the application, the micro TCA system allows you to address those. So in a number of different telecommunication applications, whether it's storage or specific types of data, voice, whatever the application may be. And the next slide runs through a number of applications outside telecommunications where the same type of system architecture could be used. And we have a number of customers that are looking at, both in the telecommunications space and these other verticals to be able to take advantage of those different systems and where they can be used both from a standpoint of the high-speed fabric interface for better data communication between the systems and also from reuse of the system architecture. And the reuse of the system architecture, I'd start talking about here on this next slide, where the real benefit of the AMC module is the same module can be used in three different applications or three different systems. The first one would be the standard ATCA type module, where it's an add-on module, just like has been discussed, to do either I/O or networking or whatever type of additional processing capability you would need. Uses the same type of fabric interface that's been discussed. And then the micro TCA chassis that we've talked about is the second usage. And then the third is into a custom system. So if the customers or the OEM is developing a specific module based on their exact requirements, they could use the same AMC card or AMC modules in that system. And that allows them to use a very similar, if not the same, type of architecture through varied different types of systems, from all the way from ATCA all the way down to a small custom system. And in those different systems, what the customer is able to take advantage of is the, as I've mentioned before, the fabric type interface. So the customer could use, as Chris had mentioned, the PCIe or the gigabit Ethernet, in addition to storage or serial rapid I/O interfaces in an ATCA blade, a micro TCA chassis, or in a custom system. So the customer can start to recognize all those benefits across the varied amount of systems. And the real benefit of that is the reuse of the software. So when the customer develops their OS drivers, their communications interface, diagnostics, management software, all that can be reused all the way from an advanced TCA system all the way down to a custom module, given the fact that the AMC modules are staying the same and the interfaces are staying the same. In addition to the fabric interface, we've talked about power, and we can go into that in a little detail. The AMC module gives you a lot of power from a standpoint of just raw power to use for processing, for any type of chips that need to be put onto the module, and allow a lot more processing to be done on an individual AMC module, but then also throughout a system, whether it's an ATCA blade, a micro TCA chassis, or a custom module. A lot of management interfaces exist, both from a hot swap standpoint and the monitoring and management control from power and cooling and status, and we'll talk about some of those in a minute. JTAG type access into the modules, and a lot of the interface can be similar, if not the same, on the different architectures that we've talked about. And once again, the real key here is to be able to reuse not only from a software standpoint, like we've mentioned, but also from a hardware design of the power interfaces and the different design modules that an engineer would develop. The next slide will go into a little bit of detail on the software side, next couple slides actually. This slide here talks about the applications, the communication type interfaces, all the different software that you could use on the different systems and be able to take that through an ATCA module, a micro TCA, or a custom system. And so once again, as I mentioned, when the software engineers put together the management, the drivers, and all the firmware and their applications, they can take advantage of that on a number of different systems. And some of those specific interfaces are listed on this next slide where it runs through all the management type functions, and these are features that exist in the management interface in the different ATCA or AMC type specifications. So all the status from module, the status of the module, whether it's related to power or cooling or temperature, module validation, the fabric connections, all those are available for the user to use in their software interface to manage manage the modules themselves. And also from a diagnostic standpoint, just to make sure that the system is functioning properly, both from a manufacturing test standpoint and when the system is actually running. The next slide just kind of reinforces what I've already mentioned a couple times on the software side of the benefits of the reuse of intellectual property and decreasing the design time, both from a hardware standpoint and from a software standpoint. And we're really excited about the opportunity to be able to take advantage of these benefits in the different systems, both that we're developing and working on with our customers. The last slide just kind of summarizes everything once again on the different systems where the AMC module can be used, and once again taking advantage of the fabric, the power increase, and software to be able to use that throughout the ATCA, micro TCA, and custom modules. And I think that's it, Joe, and I'll take it back to you, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Next on the agenda, Joe McDevitt from Diversified Technologies. I was going to talk about the hardware and software around Advanced TCA 3.1, which is the Ethernet fabric interface for Advanced TCA. So as soon as your slides come up here. There we go. Okay. No, it's still Matt's slides. Okay, take a second here. Okay, over to you, Joe.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Good afternoon. I think we've heard a lot of talk this morning about Ethernet in the previous two presentations, and those were AMC-related Ethernet. Today I'm going to kind of backtrack and talk about the 3.1 specification, which is Ethernet on the fabric. Ethernet and ATCA exist in two different forms. I'm going to intro those two different forms, and we'll talk briefly about the software. Ethernet software is a huge topic and would take much longer than I have time here for today, but we will touch briefly on that. So if we look at the base specification, the base does cover your power distributions, your mechanicals. It defines this base Ethernet functionality, and it defines a fabric topology. It does not tell me what electrical signals to put on that fabric topology. We have to look to the sub-specs for that. There are currently six different sub-specs. Again, today we're going to be focusing on 3.1, which is Ethernet and fiber channel. So if we dig down into the two different fabrics, on the right you see what is known as the base. This is simply base T, if you're familiar with that IEEE nomenclature. It's the same electricals that you would find perhaps in the Cat5 where your computer is tied into your office, maybe at home through a DSL modem or something like that. This can auto-negotiate to 10, 100, 1,000. It carries a little bit of overhead, has more electrical signals, requires isolation transformers, that sort of thing. The 3.0 spec does define the topology of the fabric that we see on the left. And in terms of dual star and full mesh boards. But if we it only defines the nomenclature with what we refer to those in the sub-spec. So let's drill down on the fabric. We see that the base spec defines what we call a port, which is just simply a transmit and receive pair, and then four ports make up a channel. So if I were a dual star node, I would have two channels back to dedicated switch slots. If I were a full mesh node, I would now have 15 and a 16-slot ATCA chassis channels to every slot in the backplane. It should be noted that when I say dual star and full mesh, we're only talking about the fabric. The base, that base T Ethernet is always dual star. There's no such thing as full mesh base. So to get base connectivity, you always have to have dedicated switch slots. So drilling down now, let's take a look at what the 3.1 spec tells us. Well, since the 3.0 spec didn't tell us what electricals to put on those, obviously the 3.1 spec does. It defines nine differing options for how to populate those ports, and basically they're just the most logical combinations of Ethernet and fiber channel on those ports. There are currently nine different options, ranging from one gigabit base BX to 10 gigabit base BX. This is a four wire. I don't think IEEE has adopted that base BX name. I think that comes mainly from PICMIG. It doesn't auto-negotiate. It's locked into 10 gig. For that, we don't have to carry around all that overhead. We can do it in four wires, which is all we had on a single port. And then when we go out to the 10 gigabit Ethernet, we do use the entire full channel, all full ports, to get that connectivity. So what is an option? Just kind of graphically, so you can... I'm very graphically oriented, so I like to think about these things in terms of what actually happens. On the left, we have our 3.1, which, again, is that 1 gigabit base BX. We can see we've populated the transmit and receive pairs with just four signals using up one port. On the right, we have an option 4 board, which, again, option 4 is one port of gigabit Ethernet, one port of fiber channel. We can see we've, again, populated that port 0 with 1 gigabit Ethernet and that port 4 with our fiber channel loop. The other signals are left totally unused. As it turns out, these two boards would actually could plug together, and the shelf manager through a E-King, which is part of the base spec and part of the 3.1 spec, would tell the 3.1 option 4 board to electronically key the fiber channel, which, according to the base spec, you only have to disable your transmit functionality, but in this instance, you would probably want to do something like close your fiber channel loop or take other necessary actions. So if we focus in on that option 1, I think there's a lot of traction between option 1 and option 9, so I'm just going to kind of build out some example systems using those two. Again, focusing on that option 1, 1 gigabit Ethernet on the base, we might end up with a system like this. So in blue, I have the connectivity of the base, and in the green, I have the connectivity of the fabric. You can see my CPU boards at the top actually have four Ethernets, two on base, two on fabric. This is a dual star fabric, and again, base is always dual star. So each one of those switches in the center of my dual star is actually two switches on one PCB, two separate switches. To preserve that separate control, which would be our base traffic, and our data, which would be on that fabric lane. You can see not all boards have fabric. You don't have to, it's not required to have fabric. So again, the shelf manager would E-key those off. Maybe these are like OA and M boards or something along those lines. They don't actually have to talk on the data or have any dealings on the data, so they're just control-type boards. Let's do the same thing with the option 9, which is that 10 gigabit Ethernet. Again, fully populated. We use all four channels, so there is no such thing as, one port of gigabit Ethernet on fabric and one port of 10 gigabit Ethernet. You could actually scale back with some silicons to do that. But, you can't get multiple 10 gigabit base BX according to the 3.1 spec. So if we built out a system using that 10 gigabit Ethernet, Well, surprisingly, the system looks very similar to the 3.1 option 1 system we built earlier. Only thing that's changed is what our boards support. We've certainly changed the electrical on the switch side and changed the electricals on our CPUs and our application boards. They all now support 10 gigabit Ethernet. But conceptually wise, because ATCA is fabric agnostic and much of our topology is driven by that 3.0 specification, the actual block diagram here didn't change. Again, there is a lot of electrical differences on each of the node boards, but again, did not change. I mentioned we talked briefly on software. Certainly Ethernet software is a very long, I think one of the previous speakers used it, has evolved over a lot of time. One of the interesting things that falls out of that is you get some people who do their proof of concept for their ATCA system, maybe using enterprise switches with 1U servers. You find a lot of times they'll just throw a list of specification requirements that their 1U switch may have supported that really don't make a lot of sense in ATCA. So this chart kind of helps weed through some of that and provides what a typical cost adder would be. Certainly VLANs and rapid spanning tree are very important in ATCA as well as QoS and some of your DiffServe kind of applications. SNMP, again, very important from a management perspective. But there are other stuff that some people tend to specify on an ATCA switch like NAT and BGP4, which, I mean, it adds a lot of cost, and it really doesn't play well in ATCA. In a nutshell, this is as good as I can come to summarizing all the RFC lifts that will be required on a typical enterprise-class server and how that maps into ATCA. It's a very long, complicated process, but my attempt to give you some oversight in that is this one slide. A brief word from our sponsor. I think DTI is probably the only company in the embedded space with 30 years of history and maybe a little name recognition problem. Many people don't realize who we are, what we do. We're sort of an outsourcing partner. I think we were outsourcing with people before outsourcing became the in thing to do. So we offer hardware, software, mechanical, and systems sort of outsourcing. And we take no pride in the fact that our boards have to leave with a DTI meatball, which is one of the reasons why I think you don't see our name a lot. Virtually all of our products that leave our doors are rebadged as somebody else's product. I'll leave my contact information up in case there are more questions and my short little overview of 3.1 and if you need to contact me for slides or any other reason. And with that, I'll turn it back to Joe.
Thank you, Joe. That was a very good introduction. Last this afternoon, Sven Freudenfeld from Contron is going to talk about meeting real-world carrier requirements using advanced TCA and AMC systems for fixed mobile convergence network applications. So your slide sets up. Sven, take it away.
Thanks, Joe, hello, everyone. What we will basically focus on, given the fact that ATCA is a ratified standard and MicroTCA is in the works to be ratified, we will look at the overall system design and approach and the additional work that needs to be done in order to create a new system based on ATCA. So some of my previous speakers, they basically covered the basics of ATCA as well in terms of the different specification in terms of switch fabric, the main specification for the PicPink 3.0. But basically, the characteristic for the carrier for ATCA is basically that you have it's scalable for the up to 5 nines high availability. There is hot swap capability. There is a redundant 48 volt, and there's basically a redundant control and data plane available. Plus, in addition, there is a sophisticated system management in place for health monitoring, module power control, electronic keying, and as well, active cooling control. This is all stuff that basically has been deployed on a proprietary systems approach in the past, and we're seeing more and more activities towards building systems based on ATCA. Given the fact that it's a standardized, it's a standard, there's different choices to be made. Obviously, they're all driven by the application, but just looking at the right range of choices in terms of the switch fabric, for example. Joe, for example, talked about in more details about the Gigabit Ethernet switch fabric. You know, there's an InfiniBand switch fabric, SAP fabric, PCI Express or Advanced Switching Interconnect, and there's Sierra Rapid I.O. So basically, in creating the system design, depending on the application, is basically also driving the switch fabric to be chosen on the system approach. To recap on the Ethernet and fiber channel approach, it's a different diagram. It's basically a we could call it a 12-foot chassis with you know, up to 16 slots. You see, it's basically split it into three zones: zone one, zone two, and zone three. So the zone one basically is responsible for the system management and the power distribution as full redundant. The zone two basically is responsible for your base interface, fabric interface, synchronization interface, and something it calls the update channel. And there is a zone three, which is basically responsible for, you know, or the interlink to a possibility of an RTM. So in terms of the zone two, which is the main focus on the switch fabrics, base interface obviously is Gigabit Ethernet. The fabric interface, you know, could be basically Gigabit Ethernet, could be any other switch fabric on that. The update channel is something where it's basically if you create a system with full redundancy support, you could basically have PCI Express and as well Gigabit Ethernet running through the update channel to talk to a neighbor slot. Okay. In more of the details regarding Gigabit Ethernet, which we looked into details in the past presentations as well, basically it's a backplane port equals two, channels equals four port. Zone two has five connectors or five channels each. And you can have up to 15 channels per fabric interface, just as a high-level explanation on the Gigabit Ethernet. So in terms of designing a system, the first approach is basically to look at the different options and variation in the switch fabric approach, and also determine, you know, will it be 1 gigabit Ethernet, 10 gigabit Ethernet, serial rapid I.O., or advanced switching interconnect, for example. The next level on the system approach is basically the software layer, and as well the middleware and the application layer. So this is basically giving an overview on the different layers in creating a system. So the hardware platform based on ATCA, you know, will have a carrier grade OS running on it, including a hardware support and a management software, which is, you know, basically based on the IPMI to manage the blade and as well to control the blade in its own stage. The next level basically is the high availability middleware. So there's different choices out there in terms of the middleware approach. The middleware is basically to make sure you have a full redundant, you can build a full redundant a platform. And it's also managing the blades themselves in terms of redundancy, and it's basically also supervising the hardware building blocks. And on top of that, basically, is the application, which is usually done and written by the telecom equipment manufacturers or, you know, the customers who are deploying ATCA. So we mentioned, or I talked about the IPMI. So the IPMI is basically, it stands for Intelligent Platform Management Interface. It's basically taking care of the health of the blades and as well the system approach. Usually in a chassis you have a shelf manager and as well you have blades running with a IPMI stack on that. The IPMI is basically used for temperature surveillance, checkpoint ground, analog voltage, power consumption, AMC presence, bias error, temperature control, system health, and as well to shut down a offensive blade. So this is basically to control the system, if it's, you know, make sure the blade is in the power envelope, as, you know, checking the temperature range on the blade on different sensors, and it's basically maintaining a healthy system. So it's basically the control mechanism on ATCA. So how does IPMI actually work? So there's basically, as I mentioned, there is usually a shelf manager in a chassis as a full redundant, so meaning two shelf managers. And each blade basically has a IPMC, Intelligence Platform Management Controller, which is basically communicating to the shelf manager with all information what happened on the blade itself. So through the IPMBA and IPMBB, all this information is basically transmitted in a round-robin fashion between the two buses to update the status of the system. So we talked about the IPMI. So on top of it, the interface from the IPMI between the application layer is basically the middleware approach. So looking at different options on the middleware approach, depending on the applications as well, it could be vary between, you know, very telecom-intensive IO AMC carrier board, for an example, or just a, you know, a database application. So, you know, depending on the application you build, there's different variation on the middleware approach as well. So going back to the hierarchy, basically you have the hardware platform, you have the operating system, and then as a middle piece, you have the high availability middleware. So the high availability middleware is basically a OS agnostic piece of software, which is basically doing core services such as messaging, debugging, log, and monitor. And it has basically additional blocks for system management, embedded management, and high availability framework, which is taking care of provisioning, monitoring, accounting, for an example, the system management for you know, hardware discovery, resource management, event alarm management, and as well the high availability framework is basically doing the fault management, checkpointing, hot upgrade, and the API change management. So that's a high level onto the middleware, and on top of that is basically the application running. So why is the middleware portion so critical to adopt or build ATCA systems? Again, the hardware portion is only one side which can solve the problem to a certain intent. But you know, the middleware portion is basically to make a full redundant platform. So in a lot of cases, it's basically reinventing the software wheel is not always you know, viable. So using something off the shelf to build a ATCA platform is shorten your time to market as well, and it also you know, taking what's been already proven in the field and put it into a full system. So the choosing the right middleware is basically the key requirements are OS agnostic, as I mentioned, hardware agnostic, one programming model across diverse CPUs, general purpose processors, DSPs, or network processors, flexible. Standard programming module, you know, cannot lock OEM into proprietary solutions, so it's basically an off-the-shelf application, and it's scalable for performance and footprint. So those are basically all the main questions companies have to answer themselves once they start building a system. On top of that, there's one key element, given the fact that there are so many ATCA players in the industry right now, or is coming to release products more and more, is obviously the interoperability aspect. Yes, ATCA is a standard. However, it's very it has to be validated in terms of different options. So there's different chassis vendors out there. There's different AMC vendors out there. There's different ATCA blade or AMC carrier boards out there. So just to prove that it's basically working within the specification, there needs to be a little bit more work to be done as well. And a lot of the telecom equipment manufacturers have realized that it needs to be addressed. So the challenge is basically, will my board work on your chassis? Will my application running on your system? Will the platform run my software and so on? So it's basically on different directions to make sure everything is working in a full system approach. So as I mentioned, interoperability is a key right now, building ATCA-based platforms. So there's basically the network equipment manufacturers have realized that for faster time to market, for lower integrating costs, and as well for alternative sourcing, there's different groups have been created within the telecommunications equipment manufacturers. One of them, for an example, is Scope, which is basically defining their requirements for a system approach. There's different organizations, for an example, the SA Forum for high availability and as well on the OS level. And there is obviously the PICMIC as well working in addressing this issue. Looking at the value chain for the interoperability, as well the middleware portion, and as well the OS portion, member in the food chain basically is part of a full integrated platform. So if you look at the slide here, it's basically they're all interlinked into each other. So there are the platform integrators and then the telecom equipment manufacturers. The benefit, obviously, is for the service providers and for the telecom equipment manufacturers. So, creating, these working groups is basically helping as well the industry to easily adapt ATCA, micro TCA, and then basically, pushing products out of the door. In general, as a closing in the presentation, Contron is a global-wide company with 2,500 employees worldwide. We've been focusing in compact PCI for quite some time, and we are one of the founding members of the PICMIC community and driving heavily in the ATCA as well, AMC and micro TCA specification, and also been pushing products out of the door. So for any additional questions you may have, you see my email address. Feel free to contact me directly, and we'll address the questions. So back to you, Joe.
Okay, thank you, Sven. Because we're all a little long-winded, we've gone a little over our allotted time for the presentations, but there are some good questions that have been posed by the group. If we can get the Q&A slide. So I'd like to move to the questions. I'm going to be a little selective here. There are a number of questions that we presented, the moderator posted the moderator and the presenters. I'm going to focus on the questions that have come in during this cast. The first is, there's a fellow from Sanmin SCI who asks if PDFs of the slides will become available for distribution. Yeah, the last slide that we're going to bring up today, and whoever has control of that can bring that up now, has a website for ECAS archive for this and other ECASTs, and you can see it there. It's opensystemspublishing.com/ECAST, and that's where these will be placed. Another question came in, two questions came in from a gentleman at Big BandNet. First, what is the maximal bandwidth Ethernet per AMC module, and also what is running on the update channel? So would one or more of you speakers like to comment on that?
Do you want me to give it a go?
Sure.
This is Chris.
Let's be as terse as we can here. We've got a.
If you look at AMC.2 specs, basically it says that you have one AMC, you have one gig port to port number. I'm trying to get my table here. Two gig ports to port number 0 and 1, which are control paths, and you also have the option of ports 4, 5, and 6, 4, 5, 6, and 7 for data paths. So theoretically, you have a total capability of 6 gig capability to the AMC. In most cases, most of AMCs will not be able to process more than a gig, so a gig kind of a port is probably sufficient. And then if you want to separate the control and the data path, then you want to have separate paths to it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Next question is a gentleman from Converged Access, which I suspect is our old colleague, Harry Norris, has raised the question, what effect did the open engineering change requests have on the adoption rate of AMC? And, of course, he's referring to the ECN, AMC ECN committee that's operating right now to have a second pass through the spec. So what Harry's asking is, what effect has this had on the adoption rate of AMCs? Has it hindered it any? Would anyone like to comment on that?
So you want me to give a go at this too?
Sure.
Joe?
Sure.
Okay, I presume you're talking about ECN 002 on AMC.0. That's a change in the front panel size and also slightly on the profile of the card. What's happened so far anyway, that most people have been designing single wide full height cards. And when you look at the equivalent, which is single wide, single mid-size, there's very little difference except for a slight profile difference in the height as you go towards the connector. And if you've designed for both, then you should not have a problem. Now, the only thing that changes then, again, is the front panel, because the front panel is not 6 HP wide, it's 4.5 HP wide. And that shouldn't really affect you because it still covers the clearance of the components of both the top side and the underside of the board. It does obviously affect the front bezel panel, that it be on a micro TCA, micro TCA chassis or on an ATCA carrier card. That's Joe. Back to you, Joe.
Okay, thanks. Mike Moore from Motorola asks the following question. I've read of work in the standards bodies to allow PCMIC 3.1 to negotiate between 1 gigabit per second and 10 gigabits per second. Can you give an update and give any details? Joe, would you like to come?
So, yeah, I guess I'll take a crack at that. I'm unfortunately don't know of that work, and I don't know where the boundaries of my NDAs cross. So while I'm taking a crack at it, I would point you to either Broadcom or those standard body, because at this time I'm really not comfortable talking about that from a DPI perspective.
But. All right, Mike, we'll try to get you an answer offline to that. Rick Stubbe from Aguirre asked the question, will PCMIC 3.1 upgrade to the 802.3AP standard once it's ratified? The 802.3AP is the 10 gigabit per pair Ethernet standard the IEEE is developing. I'll take a crack at that. Certainly PCMIC and the IEEE 802.3AP committee are working fairly closely together. It is our intention to upgrade the advanced TCA spec 2 from the 3.125 gigabits per pair to 10 gigabits per pair. We've got to do some signal simulation work to see if we can do that with the advanced differential fabric connector that's used in ATCA. I know some initial work that Intel has done has suggested that, yes, it will work. You may have to fill the vias, but it looks like it's going to work. And there are a couple of companies using some of these newer fancy SerDes, in particular the Xilinx Rocket I.O. SerDes, that are currently building systems right now that are doing 10 gigabits per pair. So I expect in the next 12 to 24 months we'll be taking a crack at upgrading the 3.1 spec to 10 gigabits per pair. And
sort of make official what's already being built. Anyone else have any comments on that? Okay. A couple other questions. Joel Deere from DTI says, Ethernet's been covered well. Can you comment on other fabrics for advanced TCA? So I'll throw that out to the group.
I guess I'll just answer it this way. We have looked at other fabrics. We've looked at serial rapid I.O. This tends to be very application-specific. A lot of people in the DSP environment have used serial rapid I.O. Advantages is basically that there is much less overhead, so therefore when you communicate by the backplane, you put a lot less overhead on that data transport. But there are also a lot of other disadvantages in the sense that it's not as adopted, therefore there's no less components supporting that standard, and it's lesser known. So those are the kind of trade-offs. That's the only one I have. So, Joe, back to
you. So this is Sven from Contron. There's another switch fabric, basically what Contron has been also worked with and proven it as a proof of concept is basically a RAN switching interconnect as a complementary to PCI Express. So basically, we were able to have a proof of concept level showed on different occasion to show that. Advanced switching interconnect is interesting for ATCA. So,
yeah, I would say the same thing. I have great hope in AES, but unfortunately hope is not a strategy. But it's hard to bet against Ethernet in 3.1.
That certainly seems to be the consensus, although there are specialty applications for advanced switching, for Star Fabric, and certainly for Serial Rapid I.O., which are the other ratified link technologies for advanced TCA.
And InfiniBand, you forgot InfiniBand.
Oh, I forgot InfiniBand. Shame on me. A gentleman from a company called Positron 911 asked the question, how is Contron taking advantage of partnerships and alliances within the ever-changing telecom vendor space? So, Sven, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, as I mentioned in my presentation, there's different building an ATCA system requires different building blocks. Obviously, middleware portion, there's the hardware portion, middleware portion. So the whole system approach obviously requires some sort of a partnership. I'm not sure about other companies, but we are mainly hardware focused. But obviously, we have partnerships with middleware providers in order to approach the telecom market and to prove that a system approach can meet the telecom requirements.
Okay, thanks. That pretty much summarizes the questions or answers the questions posted by participants in this webcast. That were posted during the webcast. Most of the other questions were ones that we as moderators or speakers posted. I think looking through the list, we've pretty much answered them all. So I think we've run a little past our allotted time. It's now about 6 minutes after the hour. So I think we're going to wrap it up. Once again, you could be able to find the slide sets and archives of all the Open Systems webcasts at the site that you see. At the opensystemspublishing.com/ecast website. So I want to thank you for participating in this today and staying with us for the hour. There's also an email address there, ecast@opensystems-publishing.com, if you want to ask any questions. And I think Mike Moore from Motorola, we owe you an answer about auto negotiation. We'll try to get that for you. So I'd like to wrap this up and thank everyone for attending this. It was an experiment for all of us, moderator and speakers included, and seems like the technology works, and I hope all of you found it interesting and engaging and worth your time, and I want to thank you for participating today. So with that, we're all going to sign off. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.